Welcome to Place and Experience. Indulge your senses with immersive game titles. Boost the excitement with our engaging promotional tools and generous network promotions. Be in control with XI Viewport Management Tool and experience seamless gameplay powered by X Platform. Enjoy Place and Experience as our partners do in over 20 regulated markets. And get ready to go big. Big play is on. Placent.
Well, there you go. Hello and welcome to another edition of Which Journalist Has the Unruliest Haircut? I am your reigning champion, Conor Mulhare, editor, of course, at Next.io. And I'm joined by senior reporter extraordinaire, the one and only Mr. Zach Thomas-Aku. Zach, how's things?
Yeah, it's going great, Conor. How are you?
I'm absolutely fabulous. I'm very pleased to have you with me today to discuss a mega emerging story from down under. We've been thinking a lot about Australia over the last couple of days because of this story that we've had emerging about Bluebet and Betr. Now, every time we mention any company called Betr, we have, of course, to clarify which one we're talking about. It's not Joey Levy and Jake Paul. No, no, no. It's the Australian Betr led by Matthew Tripp, a bookmaking legend in Australia. And anyway, this is a deal that we've had some rumours about for the past, a year or so, apparently, or longer. But yesterday, the story was brought right back to the forefront of our minds because, Zach, you reported on this yesterday. What happened?
So, yeah, I mean, this really came to everyone's attention yesterday after a report in the Australian financial press that there was going to be a merger between Betr and Bluebet. Betr's been the subject to M&A gossip for a little while. I mean, at one point, I think they were floated to buy the Rump Points Bets business after they sold off their US assets to Fanatics. You know, like three things come and go. But what really stuck with a lot of people is that the deal's going to be like imminent, like as in it's going to be announced in the next couple of days. Following the report, Bluebet stock shot up 20%, which, as I understand it, wasn't from a particularly high base, but then it, you know, it still rose quite a lot.
And so something like 30 cents a share, wasn't it? Something like that.
Yeah. So it's we're dealing with quite low sums. It's quite a small business, but you know, it shot up. And in response to that, Bluebet on the Australian Securities Exchange requested a trading halt, subject to, I think it was the phrasing was something like pending an announcement or a material event or something like that, which appeared to confirm the report. I mean, this deal has been floated before. There's been a lot of rumors about it in the past that the two would get together. They're both led by sort of old hands, veterans of Australian gaming. And I think one rationale that has often been floated is that companies of this size are looking to get a little bit of scale, because Australia looks set to be tightening up its regulatory environments quite a bit. There's been a lot of scandals recently. I think everyone remembers the Crown and Star saga. A lot of stuff happening on the state level, a lot of concern about addiction, like pokies are getting more heavily regulated. I can't remember exactly the date. Oh, yeah, June 2023. There was a report, a government inquiry called the Murphy Inquiry, which recommended that the country should impose a ban on gambling advertising. Then The Guardian reported, I think it was last month or the month before, that the communications minister, Michel Roland, had been briefed from officials from the Belgian Gaming Commission about how such a ban should be implemented. So in this environment, you know, companies want to get together, get a bit of scale. And so that's what they're looking to do. And it's a little bit of a turnaround for Betr's own fortunes, which had two quite big investors, quite like names that we would know, walk away. That is Tech Corp, that's Matt Davies' outfit, and News Corp, which is, you know, Rupert Murdoch. Looks like they've got something going in the end.
Yeah, so Betr's kind of moving towards its plan B, I guess. And I think it's smart of you to mention all the regulatory change that seems to be on its way in Australia, because absolutely, it's like last chance saloon now. for companies of this size. We'll get into how big they are in a couple of minutes, because they're not massive companies, as you mentioned. And yes, by clubbing together, Bluebet and Better are, I suppose, kind of doubling their chances at becoming successful operators in the US, in Australia. Now, I don't think either of them has turned a profit yet, and I think that's the idea, is that this merger will help them to do so. So anyway, those were the rumors. Yesterday, we had that trading halt, as you mentioned, because there was too much movement there in the share price, and I think it wasn't appropriate for investors to be trading those shares without being informed of what was coming. And today, this morning, it was all confirmed. So Bluebet put out an investor presentation which explained the structure of the upcoming merger and the kind of rationale behind the deal. I saw a headline earlier today from an Australian business newspaper which described this deal as the worst kept secret in the betting industry's history. Apparently, I think lots of people kind of knew this was on the cards. And I do recommend, if anyone wants to really dig deep into the detail of all this business combination, I recommend you go to the investor relations section of Bluebet's website and have a look at the presentation you set yourself. It goes to show, Zach, that this has been in the works for a long time, because there was an awful lot of detail in this presentation. It was like 75 pages of stuff, and we've got a couple of pages to show you from that coming up. But anyway, here's the core structure of the deal. Bluebet, which is a materially smaller company than Better, is going to issue 265.4 million shares to Better shareholders, which represents about 56.9% of the combined entity. So the majority of the new business is going to be owned by Better's current shareholders. And the merger is scheduled to complete on the 1st of July. So it's going to be pretty quick. So there'll be no cash changing hands, as far as I understand it, Zach. It's an all-stock deal. It's not going to cost them anything in terms of actual handing over of huge valuations or doing 10 times EBITDA multiples or anything like this. It's just all stock. But there will be a $20 million raise to help cover some of the transaction costs and funding, kind of funding the actual admin of the whole thing, I guess, and the legal fees and all of this. And that $20 million is going to be used for a few different things as well. But why might this be a compelling business post-closing? Well, one of the reasons is the quality of the executive teams and that are already in place at those two businesses and the resulting team when the businesses merge. So the combined business is going to be led by Andrew Menz as CEO. He's currently CEO at Better, while Bluebet CEO Bill Richmond is going to become the chief operating officer of the combined entity. Now, those two, I'm sure they're not, I don't think, super well-known executives. Perhaps they're better known in Australia than they are in Europe. But two of the people who are very well-known, who are involved with this, are Michael Sullivan, who's the founder of Bluebet, and Matthew Tripp, who's the owner of Better. So Michael Sullivan's going to be joining the board as executive chairman at first, and Matthew Tripp will join as a non-executive director. That's going to continue until the 1st of January 25, so in about 8 months, at which point Matthew Tripp's going to take over as executive chairman. But Zach, just in case any of our listeners are not totally clued up on the Australian gambling sector, what's so compelling about Tripp and Sullivan? Who are these guys?
Cheers, Connor. Well, they're probably considered to be two of the the proper pioneers of Australian betting. They both separately have done a number of deals which made them both quite rich personally. So Sullivan sold Sporting Bet to William Hill in 2013 for 660 million Australian dollars. And Tripp bought Sportsbet in 2005 for $250,000 before selling it just 6 years later to Paddy Power for $388 million in 2011, which is, I mean, that's quite a profit you made from that. And I think that is now Flutter's main vehicle in Australia. So Tripp is, I mean, he's a bit of a personality as well. He's the executive chairman of the Melbourne Storm Rugby Club. I think when Betr launched in 2013, they offered something like 100 to 1 odds on the Melbourne Cup, which actually led to a $210,000 fine from the regulators, because that was considered to be a little bit maybe not great.
Yeah, what was the... It was it considered too generous? You could have 100 to 1 odds on any horse or something?
I'm not that clued up with the details, but yeah, it was something like that. It was not great.
They broke some kind of rule with it. But yeah, I think that was the point when Betr launched in Australia, they kind of came out with this quite noisy campaign. There was a lot of outdoor advertising and digital advertising as well. And yeah, mega kind of... introductory offers like that 100 to 1 special on the Melbourne Cup, which I think actually did do a good job of generating a database that was kind of quite substantial, basically. In fact, let's talk about that now, because here's the broad rationale for the business. Of course, we've already talked about the fact that scale at this point in the Australian market is going to be a key differentiating factor for operators, and it's going to, you know, help them to survive into the future. But let's say, broadly speaking, there are kind of two big benefits to the merger. One is that they are going to consolidate both of their customer bases. They are convinced that there's very little crossover in their existing customer bases. We've got some figures on this, but I haven't got them in front of me. But they've each got 100,000 or a couple of 100,000 active customers. And so that's the first thing they want to do. Yeah, because they said there's very little crossover, so they're going to kind of double their customer base, essentially. And they are also going to migrate Betr's operations off BetMakers' third-party technology stack. Now, there's going to be more on that a little bit later. But, yeah, they're going to... BlueBet has its own proprietary tech stack. And so BetMakers is going to come... Betr's going to move its operations onto that. So let's say we're doubling the number of customers, simplifying the operations by bringing everything in-house and reducing costs in that way as well. And there's also going to be a transition from two brands to one brand. So there's going to be additional savings on marketing and advertising. So there's a lot of synergies here. There's a lot of kind of elements that appear to make quite a lot of sense. And also, I think for BlueBet, they released some quite interesting figures on Betr's customer demographics today as part of that presentation I mentioned. So I think we've got a slide here we can show. And we'll just talk through it a bit for all of our audio-only listeners, of which I'm sure there are several thousand. But we've got some figures on Betr's customer demographics. So you can see a lot of things that are kind of very beneficial to a lot of operators. So 56% of bets placed on Betr are accumulators and multi-bets. Only 44% are single bets. So obviously that's a higher margin product, which is great for driving a higher margin for the operator. They've also got a stated preference for sport over racing. So 59% of bets are sports bets compared to 41% on racing. I think in Australia, usually that skews the other way. It's a very big racing country. And perhaps most importantly, 56% of Betr's customers are aged between 18 and 35. So obviously, if you're able to generate that brand loyalty and that kind of relationship with customers at a younger age, there you go. That says there towards the right-hand side of the screen. Spend per customer grows with customer age, compounding the benefits obviously, of having those customers. So thanks for showing that image, Lorena. That's pretty compelling stuff, I think, in terms of the benefits to Bluebet. And yeah, there you go. So as I mentioned, they're going to transfer everyone to a single brand. It hasn't actually, I suspect, because Better has got, Bluebet's got the tech and Better's kind of got the customers, broadly speaking. I suspect it'll be Better that is the brand that survives, and Bluebet, it's also got a kind of more modern, sleek, cool kind of vibe to it than Bluebet, which seems a little bit, I don't know. Do you agree, Zach? It's a little bit old hat, maybe. A little, looks a bit dated.
Yeah, I was thinking that. It seems a little bit old-fashioned, but, you know, I don't really know much about marketing, so I'm not really one to criticise.
Just looks a bit 2005 to me. I don't know. Maybe people disagree. But I suspect it's the Better brand that will survive. But let's see. And yeah, all those synergies and all that money, and we've got this equity raise that we'll tell you a bit more about in just a second. These are all kind of pillars of growth. We've got another picture we can show you here, another slide from that presentation where you can see the five pillars of growth that are going to come about through this merger. So you've got the value of the combined customer base, Bluebet's scalable technology platform, the experienced leadership team, the access to capital, which we'll come onto in a second with this equity raise, and a significant market opportunity. Now, there's a pyramid here which shows right at the bottom, lots of different operators with small scale. And then at the top, you've got three operators who've got a market share of above 15%. And Bluebet thinks there's an opportunity for an operator to come in. With that 10 to 15% market share kind of size. So thanks for showing that, Lorena. Obviously, as we know, Australia is a huge betting market, and I think per capita the biggest spenders on gambling pretty much anywhere in the world. So if you can capture 10 to 15% of that market, then that's a recipe for success. I saw a figure somewhere earlier that estimated that these brands have maybe got 1 or 2% market share each at the moment, and they obviously want to really expand that by merging together and hopefully reach that kind of 10% point. Now, I mentioned earlier, Zach, that no cash will need to change hands between the businesses. It's going to be an all-stock kind of deal, but they are planning an equity raise worth about $20 million, and I think you've been looking into this. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about how they're going to do that and what they're going to use the money for?
Yeah, no problem, Connor. Maybe just a little word on the scale question, because that's something we mentioned before, where they're aiming to go to 10 to 15%, maybe to, you know, for all the benefits of scale along with to cope with this revolutionary pushback. If you think about some of their competitors in the market, some of the big people there, like they've got Flutter, they've got Entain, they've got Tabcorp, like Flutter and Entain, particularly big international operators with very deep pockets, who have now gone through periods of regulatory transition in other markets. So I imagine for operators of like Better size, this is a little bit existential, and so this is probably why they went through the deal. But yeah, I mean, as part of the equity raise, they're undertaking a full underwritten institutional placement to raise gross proceeds of around 20 million Australian dollars. So these will be used for growth initiatives, transaction costs and one-off integration and migration costs. So of that 20 million, 12 million is going to be used for the actual growth stuff, which is, can be distributed in a few different projects. So targeted ad spend to aid migration to the single platform, generosity to maximize engagement around the Spring Race Festival, which is coming up, a reactivation campaign focused on the casual customer base, and investments in product innovation. So, and then they're going to earmark 4 million for transaction costs and synergy realization costs. So that's where the money's going. They're also planning to do some M&A at some point, they said, but we don't really know what form they'll take.
Yeah, I think unless you know what's the inner workings of Bluebet's tech stack, it's probably hard to see. It would seem to me it would probably be back-end product things, or maybe not payment solutions, but, you know, RegTech or something like this, where it's just kind of improving their operations a bit and maybe pushing the margins up or something like that when it comes to M&A. I don't see them buying another B2C brand and integrating that, but who knows? Could happen. Stranger things have happened. But yeah, absolutely. So they're going to spend that 12 million on basically, let's face it, advertising and marketing. That's what they need to spend on. They need to make people aware that the brand's emerging and get everyone migrated and make sure they don't kind of churn those customers out by bringing the brands together, because there's always a risk of that. And yeah, I think the thing about Better is they kind of showed, I think that everyone was talking about them for a little while when they had that 100-to-1 offer that we mentioned before. And it does seem they were quite effective with their marketing spend. I think they were able to make quite a big splash at a relatively low cost. So hopefully they keep that up and they'll be able to turn that 12 million into, you know, real results. Because obviously it's not a huge, huge figure. It's not going to last forever, but hopefully it's enough if they use it quite intelligently. So what's the result going to be? Well, they've given us some projections for 2024, as well as some results from the latest quarter, so calendar Q1 of 2024, which, just to confuse matters, is Q3 of financial year 24 in Australia, but whatever, let's call it, let's just say the latest quarter. Between them, the business has generated just shy of $40 million in net win. So that's kind of net NGR, I suppose we would call it, from about $400 million in betting volume. So the scale's not tiny, we should say that. You know, $40 million a quarter, $160 million a year, it's not to be sniffed at. It's certainly not insignificant, but obviously it's much smaller than some of their competitors in Australia. Anyway, the combined business is expected to reach EBITDA profitability for the full year 2025. But we're talking about financial year 2025, which starts in July this year. So anyway, I think the point is they expect to turn an EBITDA profit pretty quickly, basically within the first 12 months post-merger. And there's an additional potential upside for the combined business. Apparently, that Better's margin might be brought towards being more in line with Bluebet's margin. I wonder if Better's margin being lower is caused by the fact that their technology is provided by Betmakers instead of in-house. Anyway, Better has a margin of about 8.5%. Or it did have in the latest quarter, and Bluebet's was 11.4%, so significantly better. And there you go. So that's pretty much all the story of Better and Bluebet and what's going to happen to them. But there is one knock-on impact of this, and something we've alluded to a couple of times already, and that is the impact on Betmakers, for whom I believe Better is quite a significant important partner. But I think we may, before we chat a bit more about that, I think we have probably a very quick video message to play.
Teams, hundreds of studios, dozens of hub market partners, an industry-leading hub wallet, and just one API. Hub 88 is connecting businesses to a world of limitless content where the possibilities are endless. Hub 88.
There we go. I thought we might have a video, and we should, of course, say thank you to Hub 88 and to Placent for sponsoring this episode. So, Zach, you've been looking into Betmakers and what they've said today about all this, because they did release a statement, didn't they? And they've kind of given us some idea of what's going to happen next for them. What's the story there?
Yeah, I mean, they put a pretty brave face on it, and there's a statement out with quotes from the CEO, Jake sorry, Jake Henson, that's right. Matt Tripp, where they're all saying this is all good news for everyone. Matt Tripp saying, you know, I'm going to remain an investor. But I mean, like losing one of your biggest customers who's decided your tech stack isn't going to meet their needs can't be good news for any business.
Mm-hmm.
According to the reports in the Australian Financial Press, Betta has previously struggled with the quality of the tech stack. That's been the big issue for them. And yeah, I mean, so the agreement they came up with between Betta and BetMakers is basically for BetMakers to support Betta for the duration of the customer migration. Mm-hmm. So that's mean a couple of million dollars in installments. And then if the migration isn't completed by October, Betta will pay an additional $500,000 per month. I mean, so yeah, I mean, it's a little bit of money, but not as much as probably as an ongoing relationship would have been. So Jake Henson said, you know, the end of the partnership will allow the business to realize some cost efficiencies and, you know, deploy resources to the rollout of its next gen platform, which is where they're putting a lot of their eggs going forward. And, you know, he said he's reiterated that the company still expects low double-digit revenue growth for full year 2024 and is confident of growth ahead of this. So, I mean, who knows how they'll do? I just think as much as they're saying, no, we can do something from this, isn't the end of the world. I think it is bad news for bet makers.
Yeah, I'm just Googling quicker their share price. Down 10% today, not looking great. Investors perhaps not very happy. I think we saw some big VC partners kind of pull their money out of BetMakers as well over the last year. So they're not, look at this. Yeah, they used to trade in 2021, they were trading at $1.50 a share at their peak, and today they are 10 cents. So, yeah, you know, they started off as worthless, essentially. No, it started off at 17 cents a share in 2015, huge spike up to 150 by 2021, and now just all the way back down again, just to 10 cents a share. So,
so that was some of the like the COVID era sort of excitement about online gaming, mm-hmm. but you know,
a big pump and dump, it seems, between 2020 and 2022. Pretty crazy valuations.
I think in like the feverish world of Australian M&A gossip, they're at one point floated to buy Betta. They were one of the, like, everyone was offering to buy everyone at one point or another. But BetMakers was, I think, going to buy them at one point. But that's, you know, that's rumors and not really proper sourced stuff.
No, just chit chat, and there's never a lack of that in our industry, Zach. There's always rumors that's spreading around. But we are here every week to help you separate the fact from the fiction. Isn't that right? And what a wonderful place to sign off. What do you reckon? Anything else to say on this story today?
Well, that's kind of all of it. BetMakers also announced an acquisition as well, Race Labs Global Assets, which is sort of a racing tech provider. It's quite small beer, really. It's like 1 to 1.5 million, depending on customer innovation. But yeah, only that's... I think apart from that, that's pretty much all I've got to say on the topic.
Yeah, good point, though. And it was funny that the two stories came out on the same day. So it's kind of as if BetMakers were saying, okay, everyone, we've lost a client, but listen, we've got a new business. We're bringing it on. We're acquiring this racing data betting business, whatever it is. But there you go. If you want more detail on that, there will be more to follow on next.io, because we are always keeping you up to date with the biggest headlines and the biggest stories. And of course, we'll be back here at the same time next week for more of the biggest stories from the online gambling sector. Zach, you say, what a pleasure it's been to have you with me this week. Thank you very much for joining me. Thank you to everybody in the audience for watching. Thank you once again to Place and Hub88. Thanks to our producer, Lorena. And why not? Thanks also to me. We'll see you all soon. Take care, everyone. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks.